Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. I got to tell you, I've been writing the next few days of shows and I'm excited about this week because it's different names. It's meat. It's not me making stuff up, but different names in the news this week. And we'll get to that. Starting with late night, as always, Trevor Noah blamed inflation on the pandemic, supply chain issues, and a Russian man who clearly wasn't hugged enough as a child. And because of that, everything costs more. Groceries, gas, blackmail. It's terrible. This week's Saturday Night Live, I don't have much to say about it. It wasn't good. It wasn't good. I thought Benedict Cumberbatch was way better than the writing. I would watch the sketches and be like, he's really good in this, but it's not funny. So I don't have anything to say. Jost and Che, I thought it was subpar for them. Not a good SNL at all. Cinema Blend recapped David Letterman's appearance at the Netflix Comedy Festival last week. David Letterman, really 75? Oh my goodness. No, don't tell me that. Holy cow. Born April 12th, 1947. David Letterman is 75. That blows my mind. Letterman started jumping around the stage and then joked he thought he saw a man rushing towards the stage. That, of course, got some laughs. Pete Davidson, he says John Mulaney suggests that he tell people that Kanye has polio. So the setup there, we had learned last week a little bit of what Pete said on stage. There's more about it now. I'll repeat the part that I've already told you about, and then we'll find out what John Mulaney said. Pete Davidson on stage. I had an AIDS scare this year. Yeah, I did. And you're like, Pete, wow, what's going on in your life? Are you sharing needles? You're doing heroin? You have tons of unprotected sex? No, Kanye told me I have AIDS, and he's a genius. I was like, oh, F, I better call my doctor. The guy who made College Dropout thinks I have AIDS. Turns out I don't have AIDS. It just looks like I have it. That's funny. Pete continued, you know what's really funny about that? AIDS is such an old school thing, like, you have AIDS. It's such a 90s, early 2000 things to come at me with. John Mulaney called me and he's like, AIDS? You should spread a rumor that Kanye has polio. Speaking of John Mulaney, he's going to drag us to Gossip Corner. Stay with me for all this. It is layered. It was Mother's Day. Mulaney went on Instagram. He wrote, Happy Mother's Day, Olivia Munn. Thank you for the greatest gift in the world. He captioned a black and white photo of the day Olivia Munn gave birth to 5-year-old Malcolm. Olivia Munn wrote back, thank you to John Mulaney for knowing that all I wanted for Mother's Day was a bucket of chicken, a box of biscuits, and for him to take over all nap duties today. Okay, that's all nice. And then this next thing I shared on the Facebook group, Daily Comedy News Podcast group. Oh my, John Mulaney's ex-wife, Anna Marie Tendler, she posted on Mother's Day. In her photo, she's seated in a black gown, blindfolded, while holding her dog in her arms like a baby. Her caption, a photograph for everyone who feels all the weird vibes on this day. It's okay to sit with those. This picture, I don't know. I don't know what word I want to use. Creepy comes to mind. Like, you got to see it. It's on the Daily Comedy News Facebook group, or, you know, you probably follow Anna Marie Tendler on Instagram. I'm not trying to get page views out of this, but you got to see it. I looked at it and I was like, oh. The Hollywood Reporter talked to David Spade about his new special and a couple topics that might make people go, huh? Some of the jokes reference pedophilia, trans people, COVID-19, and Alec Baldwin. And because I'm 12 years old, I'm now picturing Karnak. Remember Johnny Carson doing the guy who could tell what was on the cards? I'm picturing Karnak going, pedophilia, trans people, COVID-19, and Alec Baldwin. I don't know what the punchline is there, but if you do, tweet it to me at DCNPod or post it on, you know, Reddit or Facebook or something. Spade said a bunch of the bits in the special he didn't decide to include until the day of filming. That's bold. And that he's almost forgotten some of them at this point. David Spade told The Hollywood Reporter, these aren't my hardcore beliefs. This is me saying something to shock or surprise to elicit a laugh. If I say the 5 jokes we're allowed to say that have been approved by the world, then who's laughing? I'm from an era of comedy where you were supposed to push things. Everyone was like, that's the whole idea. And people would go and sort of escape to hear comics and laugh. And it's all in good fun. And I would poke fun at people and move on. And then one more wave was after the Oscars. So everyone has an opinion. With the invention of Twitter, you don't just hear general opinions. You hear one at a time from everyone on the planet. You realize you're never going to please anyone. And they're going to let you know. Overall, I wanted to stay true to what I did. And I have people that know what I do. People that don't like me, I don't know if I could flip them with this. good question from The Hollywood Reporter, which was, obviously Dave Chappelle's special was met with backlash over his comments about trans people, and your special has jokes about, say, Caitlyn Jenner. Was there any kind of conversation with Netflix about how to handle material like that? Great question. Spade, there's something to say for everyone wanting to be treated equal, and it's a fine line between being able to make fun of everyone and having to stay away from people, some religions. Some places would be like, hey, treat me like everyone else, make fun of me like everyone else, and respect me like everyone else. It's all just a level playing field, ideally. Now, it is not in reality, and everyone shies away from everything. I think someone like Sylvester Stallone, who I poke fun at, but actually really like in real life, there's no malice or anger or vitriol. Caitlyn Jenner, I've met and perfectly cool. So my angle is more the names and also making fun of myself. I don't think I get enough credit, or the comedians do when they make fun of themselves, because that's part of a level playing field. I get three to me, one to you. I'm not saying I'm some great guy. Also, Chappelle's a very deep thinker. He's America's comic. You go to him because he's highly, highly respected and been around forever. He has the ear of the world. My comedy's more of a skim job. I'm not here to say anything super important. I'm not changing the world. Dennis Miller told me once, I wasn't doing well in the clubs. I wasn't killing. And he was my favorite comic at the time when I was starting. And he thought I was funny. And then I came back about 6 months later and he saw me and he goes, dude, what happened to your act? I go, well, I wasn't getting booked back enough because I wasn't killing. So I had to change it a little bit and do jokes that would work. And he's like, I would say that's a losing proposition. Just do the jokes you think are funny. And if they don't work, then maybe you're not meant to be as a comic. But if you do have the second layer of, I think it's funny, but wait, what would they think? Let me change it so they'll laugh. It's another layer I didn't need. I just need my thoughts to the audience and do my best with them. Obviously, I edit in my head some things, but I just have to go with what's funny. But mine isn't an offensive, important, groundbreaking thing that everybody needs to see. Spade was asked about Chappelle being attacked at the Hollywood Bowl. Spade, since the Will Smith incident, I feel like there's a change in the air. The invisible barrier between audience and stage has been broken, but clearly the grace period is over. I think all performers will hit first and ask questions later if someone comes at them. Even if it's a juggler, you might get a bowling pin across the temple. And he was asked about the slap, and have you talked to Chris Rock since the slap? Love this answer, Spade. It's not like he's in a bunker in Kyiv. He's out walking around, but yeah, only if it was in my shoes, I wouldn't have been replaying that in my head going, what should I have done? He probably could write a book of the things he could say after the fact, because you're just standing there stunned. And the word stunned is there because it's real. It means you're stunned. You don't know what to do. And I think he got a lot of props for just continuing and not causing a scene more than it was, sort of diffusing it and moving on. It's really pretty much the only opinion. And you're at the Oscars. It's a worldwide event. There are just too many things going through your head at that point. I think he picked the right one. Just move on. Try not to over-talk about it, because it was talked about so much. Let it die down somehow. Switching topics. You know, this whole thing with the streaming services and the comedy albums and Spotify removed a bunch of stuff and there's lawsuits and everything. CompleteMusic.com writes, in its formal response to the comedy lawsuits, Word Collection's true business model is not that of a benign licensing agent or an advocate for comedians' intellectual property rights. It's that of a cartel leader. Comedians chose unilaterally to benefit from the royalties they were already receiving for the use of the comedy recordings and the added promotional and other benefits the services gave them, creating additional demand for their live performances and otherwise benefiting the comedians. It'll be very interesting to see how that develops. Hey, Cristela Alonso, you lost at press release lottery. Part of the game in the entertainment industry is, when should we announce this? Well, Cristela Alonso announced a new Netflix special coming out June 28th, but we didn't talk about it. You know why? Dave Chappelle was attacked on stage. Bad timing, Cristela Alonso. I'm sorry. This will be her second Netflix special. This one's called Middle Classy. The description is, in Middle Classy, with more money and a smile big enough to show off all her hard-earned new teeth, Cristela is living the American dream. She hilariously shares the joys of aging in her 40s, her first ever experience with a gyno, and the importance of family. Prince Harry, you know him. He's now doing sketch comedy via ITV. Prince Harry plays a starring role in a sustainable travel campaign sketch in which he jogs through a forest before being accused of dropping a lollipop wrapper 4 years earlier. We see Harry. He's dressed in a gray t-shirt. The t-shirt says Girl Dad. He's wearing sweatpants and a cap and wearing wireless earbuds. Basically, Harry is dressed 99% of the way I am when I go to the National Donuts chain in the morning. Harry, dressed much like Johnny Mac in sweatpants and a baseball cap, is ambushed by a rating agent who claims Harry left rubbish behind during his official tour with Meghan Markle back in 2018. The video stars Rhys Darby, you know him from Flight of the Conchords, Dave Fain, and Rena Owen. This is a new initiative for Harry's organization, which is about traveling, In the sketch, Harry's given 3.5 stars out of 100 for only using one towel and buying local honey. He's also praised for not leaving the tap running while brushing his teeth. Harry said, I never do. Hang on a second. How do you know that? That's really weird. Sounds like a fun ad. And yes, you do pay attention. Of course, I'm going to cross promote Palace Intrigue. That's the podcast where I'm the writer. We talk about the royal family. If you listen to the episodes, you'll hear this exact story. Cut and paste. It's a crossover. Boy, if you want to follow Harry and Meghan and William and Kate and the nice queen and everything, Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your shows. While we're being all British, let's stop off at the BAFTA Awards. They were on Sunday. Chortle has a recap. We'll just do the comedy part. Best Female Performance in a Comedy Program, Sophie Willen for Alma's Not Normal. Best Male Performance in a Comedy Program, Jamie Dimitriou for Staff Let's Flats. They keep trying to adapt that for American audiences. We'll see if that works. Mo Gilligan won Best Comedy Entertainment Show for his Channel 4 program, The Latest Show. He beat out Graham Norton and some others. And I posted a really funny monologue from Richard Ayoade. I posted that on the subreddit Daily Comedy News and the Facebook group page, Daily Comedy News Podcast Group. All right, this next subject is a particular comedian that when I talk about, people get really mad at me. The subject, Amy Schumer. She shared at Netflix a joke she wasn't allowed to say at the Oscars. I'm going to read you the joke. She obviously told it way better than some idiot loser in his basement would ever tell it, but I'll read it to you and then let's break it apart. The joke Amy said she couldn't say at the Oscars. My husband goes down on me, or as he calls it, Squid Game, so he's in my nightmare alley, my house of Gucci. I say, come on, come on. He goes, tick, tick, boom. He Belfast. I say, get off my dune. And that's how our son was born. All right. The joke's terrible. It's funny up until this part. My husband goes down on me, or as he calls it, Squid Game. And I've quoted that line before when she mentioned that part of the joke before. The rest of it, it's terrible. It's what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tags. So he's in my nightmare alley, my house of Gucci. I say, come on, come on. He goes, tick, tick, boom. He Belfast. I say, get off my dune. That's how our son was born. It's not a good joke. So I had that in today's script. And then I was prepping the show. And then I saw this next thing. And I'm like, everyone's just going to get mad at me. Let me tell you what's going on. So Amy Schumer had to cancel Saturday night's show at the Netflix is a Joke Festival after testing positive for COVID-19. That's terrible. Obviously, I hope, we all hope, you hope Amy Schumer is healthy and back on stage as soon as possible. Amy went on Instagram stories and posted, I'm sad to say I have to cancel my show in LA tonight. I am the first woman to ever get COVID. That's funny. I tested positive for COVID-19 about an hour ago, so yeah, please. I don't know what to say, but at least my hair looks good. All right, that's good too. But then this line, I'm looking at like, what? She was making fun of her voice in the video where she said she sounded like Elizabeth Holmes, or at least Elizabeth Holmes as portrayed in The Dropout. And she captioned the video, what should I watch? I was the star of The Dropout. Okay, I can't take Paxlovid because I'm on Lexapro, right? Hashtag COVID pioneer. Huh? Maybe I just don't get the joke. All right, I've bumped this like 4 days in a row. We've been so busy, and I see we're getting long here on the clock, but let me clear this out. Netflix shared a clip of the Seinfeld table read. It featured Jack Black, Aziz Ansari, and Katherine Hahn. The episode they wound up doing at Seth Rogen's table read at the Netflix festival was from the 1994 episode The Hamptons. Boy, those 30 years went fast. That's the one with shrinkage. Seth Rogen played Jerry. Aziz Ansari played George. Elaine Catherine Hahn, and the narrator is John O'Hurley, who played Jay Peterman in the series. The table read also featured Natasha Leggero, Brendan Scannell, Moshe Kasher, and Jack Black. They also did two other episodes, The Marine Biologist and The Contest. The table read was done on behalf of Hilarity for Charity. That charity cares for families impacted by Alzheimer's disease, as well as brain health research and education. All proceeds from the performance went to Hilarity for Charity. Speaking of Seinfeld, Larry David was at the Netflix festival last week. He even questioned his own decision to partake in the event. He wondered why he did it outdoors. He said, I'm usually so climate conscious. He talked about a mistake he made at his bar mitzvah, meeting Richard Lewis at summer camp, going to group therapy with Lewis, being told Johnny Carson wouldn't like him, his bad experiences on Fridays and SNL, and the infamous moment where he walked off stage without telling a single joke. The George Lucas talk show is moving to Paul Scheer's Twitch channel. If you've never seen this, Connor Ratliff plays George Lucas hosting a talk show. It's exactly what you would think it would be, and I find it quite hilarious. Seek that out on the interwebs, but it's moving to Paul Scheer's Twitch channel. Tonight on The Tonight Show, The Kids in the Hall. They're back on Friday with their new season. That's awesome. Ken Jeong is on The Late Show. Mo Ammer is on with Seth Meyers, and that's your comedy news for today. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Overcast, wherever you get your shows. If you like what I do here, buy me a coffee. It's almost empty at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. If you'd like the episodes ad-free with early releases, become a premium subscriber on Apple Podcasts. See you tomorrow.